Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down another Vikings victory. What is it, 6 in a row now, something like that? 11-2. Wow. And, you know, maybe it took us going to OT with the Bears 2 weeks ago. Maybe it took us getting down 19-6, but the offense, whether we're talking Sam or we're talking just KOC wheeling and dealing with that aggressive play call, something's a little different. Addison Jefferson going off. We're going to talk it through. We're going to talk it through and break down this victory. A lot of people were all about, you know, the Kirk Cousins angle, which, you know, I get. I totally understand. Some people really showing their true colors when it comes to, like, fandom. It's like, I'm still wondering if these same people, the usual suspects, are actually happy he's gone. Because it's like, hey, dude, you do know he's gone, right? He's no longer a Viking. But I get it this week. I do get it, or last week, whatever you want to say. So we're going to break it down. Then, of course, preview the Bears game coming up, Monday Night Football. So we're going to probably not do the show Monday, right? We'll figure it out. Maybe we can do a Tuesday show or something like that, Tuesday night the next day or something like that. But, yeah, we'll preview and predict that. And then, per usual, we'll have a Gopher segment kind of talking about who's staying, who's jumping in the transfer portal, just a variety of things. The defensive coordinator looks like he's locked and loaded. So, yeah, we'll talk about it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Rewind, Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. Streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. Under Ropeitup Radio, you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM. You can download the podcast app. We have a Living in Loserville Spricker page you should check out. And Spotify. Check out Purple People Eaters podcast on Spotify for those who haven't. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. While you're at it, one more thing from DirecTV Stream. You know, they got this new thing called My Free DirecTV. It's free DirecTV, no credit card, no strings attached. They're introducing, it's basically a free premium TV experience that they said you'll love. Three free live channels and on-demand content personalized to your preferences, all for free. You don't even have to have a credit card involved. You just sign up, you know, enjoy. Basically, sign up, customize, and enjoy. Also, save up to $74.99 and feast on football, the NBA Cup on TNT, and hockey, plus get the in college football, plus get the best TV shows and holiday movies. Stream now, no contracts, no hidden fees. You can follow your favorite teams all season long. Still got that $86.98 limited time offer. First 2 months you sign up, get the entertainment package, and add the DirecTV Sports Pack. They do have that free trial you can check out. The choice package includes 125 channels, SEC Network, and FanDuel, former Bally's. $94.99 for the first 3 months, and the Ultimate, which includes 160 channels, $109.99 a month. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in Aaron so I can shut up for a second because I just completely destroyed that ad read.
Well, hard to find out where to start this one, Chris. There's a lot of angles involved. You could start with the Cousins. There's massive stat lines going on here. Offense seems to be rolling. I remember I talked last week a little bit about how I thought they'd be a little bit better offensively with the weapons that we have and maybe dragging on Darnold a little bit. But maybe I'll start off with my apology to Murphy Jr. He's got 6 picks on the year. I thought he'd be the one that got picked on all season. Turns out it was Gilmore, who's been hurt a little bit as of late. But, yeah, Murphy's played really, really well when he's been called upon. He's made good picks. What a pick on Sunday. That was one-handed.
Yeah.
I thought maybe, you know, going into the end zone and, you know, kneeling down and stuff maybe. But I don't think he had much of a choice, to be honest.
Agree. That was a weird spot.
Yeah, his momentum just kind of led him in there, and what are you going to do when you're making a one-handed interception? But, yeah, I mean, the Cousins, you know, text, subtext thing going on here, he's definitely not a Viking anymore. Let's be clear about that. Was nice to beat him in the way that we beat him, I thought, kind of closed the chapter, although some people are trying to drag that chapter on with excuses and whatnot. You know, he left there, left the game healthy. Everybody's going to live through this. And we got
Sam. We're all going to get through.
Yeah, I mean, we got Darnold here who brings up another conversation you and I were having off air. But, you know, 22 of 28, right in those 20s like we like, 347, five touchdowns, no picks. So there's a lot to like and a lot to talk about in this game. We'll try to get to as much of it as we can. Probably start off with where did this Darnold come from? I mean, maybe started last game, second half. I think we've seen glimpses of it, and maybe we need to see a bigger sample size of him playing incredibly well to, you know, really get over the hump and say, yeah, this is the guy that we're seeing. You know, there's always a chance he has a shitty game in the near future, but man, yesterday some of the stuff he was doing was really impressive. And let's not forget about Addison, our boy Addison, slick as hell. Jefferson back on the scoreboard again. There's a lot to start with. Where do you want to start, Chris?
Yeah, we'll start with good old Sammy. Yeah, when Addison is healthy, man. But yeah, he played about as clean a game as you're going to. The last four games now, he has 11 touchdowns, no picks. And you know, I think it is different than the first four games. If you look at the first four games, he had 11 touchdowns, three picks. Then he went through like a five-game stretch where it was six touchdowns, seven picks. He had like those maybe three or four games where you're like, oh, this is not looking good. And kind of seemed like it changed our play calling a little bit. And he kind of tempered back. We've talked about the last couple weeks where instead of putting a screen pass in the dirt or something going to the end zone or for a first down in the dirt or way too high for anybody to catch it, at times, not all the time, but at times, just give your receiver a chance rather than worrying about picking it. Because, you know, he had some red zone picks and all that. And I get it. I'm sure he's still kind of mentally all over the place from what's happening to him this year. This is a big moment for him. And I kind of thought, like, a fair amount of the early success had to do with scheming guys wide open. Because you have all offseason to scheme, and I felt like they caught up to that scheme. And also, our some of it was our defense setting us up in good positions. But early in the season, we were one of the top, if not the top, red zone teams. I mean, we were efficient. That fell apart. I think they flashed something that we were like 17th or something like that in that last game going into it or during it. But we're starting to tighten that back up, and I think that's where one of the thing is the red zone yesterday in the last two games, because I think we're 4-4 last week too, or maybe 3-3, I can't remember. But that, like, we were sharp in the red zone. He threw some balls that he gave his guy a chance to get it. It wasn't crazy risky, and like I said, I want to reiterate, don't just chuck it just to chuck it. I know that a lot of people have been, ever since we got Jefferson, it's just, I don't care if he has two or three guys, just throw it. No, you can't. That's not how you operate. You can't do that any old time. But you have seen in recent games that it just feels like maybe KOC has more confidence in his too, and because he called a great game. He was wheeling and dealing, and they were aggressive down the field. And Darnold made – some great throws, a couple, like the one that went to Addison, Jefferson, where he moved up in the pocket. That was one of his better plays of the year. And but then the other side of it is Hock for about three catches was wide open. Two out of those three deep bombs were wide open. You know, so it's KOC scheming it. We got to give him credit, but also Sam credit. The O-line started a little rough. Give them credit because they got it back together. And then obviously Jefferson, you know, drawing so much attention that it, you know, we're taking advantage of that too. And it felt like we ran just enough, yesterday. But yeah, I mean, I just think Sam's got more confidence, and maybe it is that, you know, that those, that overtime drive and then just letting it loose last week. KOC's, he even said, he's like, dude, it's 19-6. I opened up the offense, and that's exactly what we saw from, like, you know, in the first quarter.
You know, I just had this thought while you were talking about that. What I've been waiting for it to break out too, because you got Jefferson, Addison, Hawkinson, Jones, all these offensive pieces, yet we're kind of struggling offensively. And then I think to myself, okay, well, the first part of the year, Jefferson kind of went off. Okay. They stopped Jefferson. They bracket him. They triple team him, whatever it is. Okay. Addison, boom, goes off. Now puts defenses in a bind, and they say, well, okay, we can't give Jefferson so much attention because look over there, there's Addison. You know, so now they're working on new schemes to maybe take them both out. And then you get Hawkinson down for a whole drive where he was catching the ball. So I think maybe it's come full circle where, you know, the whole evolution of the defense has now gotten to realize that, look, you're going to have to pick your poison. And generally that poison is take Jefferson out. But now with Addison emerging, Hawkinson back in the mix, Jones as a threat out of the backfield, you're starting to realize that there's really no real sure thing that you can count yourself on defense. So maybe you just play zone and you try to contain everything. And maybe that's what's getting picked apart right now as of, you know, the 19-6 until now, is like the offense is opening up. Yeah. A little bit more up tempo. Yeah. But maybe now things that weren't opening up prior are starting to open up, because you just can't, you know, throw the whole boat at Jefferson. It's just not going to work if Addison's healthy. You know, he's going to eat you up. And I think maybe that's how the game started. I mean, Addison with 3 touchdowns, Jefferson had a couple. Hawkinson probably would have had one at some point. Jones had one. So it's starting to be what I thought it might be, maybe after game 3 or 4. But I think maybe it's come full circle. What do you think about that, Chris? I think, you know, yeah, KOC said he did open up the offense, and that's a thing. But if you're going to reduce the coverage on Jefferson, he's going to catch more balls. But if you tighten it up, you know, Addison's going to go off. And I think Addison has emerged as maybe a 1B and close to, you know, 2-1s on that receiver room. So, you know, it's going to be tough for defenses going forward. I just don't see if Sam can continue to evade pressure in the pocket like he has, which I think he did a very good job of that on Sunday. And find guys down the field. Like you said, we had great red zone numbers, but a lot of those touchdowns came from way outside the red zone. So things are working offensively. And if you can put 24 points up, I think I trust the defense to do the rest.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unless we're playing like super high octave or something, you know, offense or like Detroit or whatever. But yeah, I think you're right. And just to add on to that, and I know people are going to get mad because I'm bringing up Cousins, but remember, near the end of that year, the first year in the system, he did say, because we all know the fucking playbook is War and Peace, dude. It's a big-ass playbook, and there's a lot of intricacies. And he literally said it, like, every week I'm getting a little bit better, more comfortable. So maybe he is just overall getting comfortable. And like you said, they've done this. They adjusted. Okay, we'll do that. And yeah, I mean, but – I think Addison has a lot to do with it, just as much as, and I know this is, you know, sacrilegious now, but I think it's just as much as Sam Darnold, you know, honestly, because like, besides that one he caught in traffic, which was a great catch, good ass throw, but great catch. The guys were wide open, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like, it was like, you got to have an arm to do it. And I thought it was a nice adjustment to pop it up on that first one because the pressure was coming. But yeah, I'd say it's equally Addison healthy, really finding himself. And yeah, everybody's kind of just pitching in. And even the O-line, man, they gave up a fair amount of hits early in that game. I think 4 or 5 in the first half and 3 sacks. And then they tightened up. He only gave up a couple hits, and one of them was probably Sam just holding on the ball too long. But other than that, they tightened up. They picked it up in the second half. 8 of 12 on third down. That extends those drives. Obviously, the big thing, Aaron, no turnovers, right? We've been giving it away. If you look at some of those stats, our defense has been taking it away, luckily, but we've been giving it away. Now, we gave up plenty of yards in this game. This felt like kind of a giving up yards type of game, considering they do have a pretty good offense. But, you know, we knew – I was just happy that – because we faced other teams, Aaron, that were giving up 23 or 24 or 25 points a game. And in those games – when your defense gives up around 18 and the others like 24, you got to punish that freaking team. And this is the closest thing to the Houston game. Yeah, it was 21-21. I'm saying how we closed the game. It was finally a defense that didn't belong on the field with us. We finally made that crystal clear. And that's the only one I can remember is that Houston or the first half of Green Bay when we got way up or put up 28 points or whatever. But that's something that was huge. Good on third down, no turnovers. And it's like, dude, we're picking on these corners, man. 4-4 in the red zone, and you're right. You know, that was outside of that. So we got in there. It didn't feel like we were there four times because of the deep balls. And, yeah, I think you're right, though, about, you know, adjusting, okay, and that's where the play caller comes in, and that's the beauty of having a great play caller as your head coach, because he's not leaving next year for a head coaching job, you know, because we struggled. Like every other year we liked the coordinator, they'd be gone. So that really helps. Obviously having the improvements of the defense has been one of the biggest things this year. But, yeah, I think you're right about, you know, it just slowly but surely, it's like you got to pick your poison. And you're right. That's probably one of the only misfires he had was a toss he definitely had to Hockenson for a touchdown. But other than that, it was clean, man. Clean game from Darnold.
Yeah, and we've been talking about, you know, when is the team going to peak? And here we are, first game in December, or maybe second, but first, because 9 days ago, so I guess that would have been the second game in December, but coming down the stretch nonetheless, 4 games left now, I believe. You know, you're starting to peak offensively, which is what you want. If this continues, we can really get on that bandwagon and say that, you know, this is kind of what was envisioned. But I just, you know, Sam is Sam. I still think he holds on the ball too long. It drives me nuts. But, you know, because I'm just like, you know, goes back in the pocket. But, look, if he can evade pressure, which he's going to need to do, because – If this is the case that I've just explained, then the only real way to stop this team is a good pass rush and a tenacious one and just make it hard on Darnold to even get rid of the ball. And he'll see a lot of that. I mean, there's going to be, particularly in playoffs, that's down the road when they are great defensive lines, but the Bears don't have a shabby defensive line. Obviously, we know Detroit is kind of rebuilding theirs. So it's Hutch's out, but Green Bay's got enough to get after you. So this offensive line is going to have to really shore things up. I know that we're down our left tackle, but we traded for one who's played pretty damn well, for Darisaw. And so that's going to be really big for the offensive line to be able to, keep Sam clean and also, you know, maybe start to move the pocket for him a little bit. I know we said that a lot for Cousins, you know, because Cousins is not a fleet of foot as Darnold is. But if you can get Darnold outside the pocket when you're seeing a lot of pressure, and he'll do it himself. And, you know, a lot of that running stuff that I didn't like in the beginning of the season starting to really flourish. So I think that you made a great point about playbook being big, take a little bit of time for that, for you to absorb that as a player. And maybe he just kind of had a moment where it's like it clicked finally. Maybe that was at halftime last game or something, but man, it really seems like things are clicking offensively, all around this team, and it couldn't be at a better time. I know we'll get to the defense here because that's clicking as well. I know we lost some guys, but I mean, it seems like we have some pass rushers, Chris, that just keep coming. Jalen Redmond showing up now, every game. Jones is down.
Yeah, these last two games, dude. Redmond, man. Wow.
Yeah, and Jones is down, so we thought, okay, that would suck. But then in comes Dallas. And, you know, the kid we got from Green Bay, Jamin Davis, made some hits on the quarterback. Yep. We lost Pace, but now Grugier Hill, you know, is still in there. Different linebacker, different style. We talked about that before, but still an effective player. Secondary's coming around, even though Gilmore's down. We seem to be able to work our way through that. So, you know, defense is still, I think, which is very interesting because as of Saturday, you would think defense was the calling card of this team until the offense blossoms. And it seems like the offense has come around. So now, you know, is this a playoff contender? These guys are contenders. Look, man, I'm not in that boat, but I am in the boat of possibly winning a playoff game, maybe even NFC championship game. It just depends on how things fall. But that would be top end for me as of now, because I still think there's some question marks here. But if this team can continue to play, and look, this, wait a minute, let me just reverse for a second. I know Atlanta's a 6-6 team. I know they're not playing that well right now. I know Kirk didn't have the best game. He threw some picks, but we also caused some picks. So I guess I'm looking ahead as if this offensive string will continue. Maybe that's something I'll learn my lesson with. But if it does, this team's got a bright future in January.
Yeah, and it's about punishing those mediocre to poor defenses, and it's something we haven't done all that much at times. And a lot of it was that stretch where, yeah, we lost back-to-back games, but then we had that stretch where we were playing teams we were favored to beat even if we're on the road. And some of them had good defense, some of them didn't. But we just, the offense just kept those games close, and it was the defense doing their thing. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, one thing that it's pretty obvious to see is, you know, like the Lions are losing defensive players, like a lot of them, you know, not just defense, but, you know, a lot of the key players they've lost, they have a lot of people on IR now. So I think that plays into it. But yeah, I remember the first like 4 or 5 games we thought, you know, let's not get carried away, but what we're doing is repeatable. And if we repeat it, it's sustainable. And right, the way we played that last game and some of the other stuff lately, especially offensively, because defensively, we've been pretty lights out. I mean, even in this game, you know, it was 14-10 at half. They got that late field goal. We come out and doink a field goal. There was this guy at the bar. He sounded like it was a mom explaining to a little kid about what just happened. And he was like, he's all mad that they missed it, obviously. He's like, where's Romo? Is this guy's like 60? Something like that. He's like, where's Romo? And she had to explain that this guy, we drafted him, and then she knew all this stuff. He's like, but Romo was doing fine. He said it just like that, a grown man. It was crazy. But anyway, I just –
You know, my take on that was that Will Reichert is so good that he was aiming, you know, in his mind was like, was that upright? And he actually nailed it spot on.
There you go. I like that. That makes me feel better. But, yeah, no, it was, you know, and they had a great drive, 11 play, but they held him to a field goal. Just like instead of giving a touchdown, you know, near the end of that, near the end of the half, we stopped him. We had a turnover on downs, you know, late and early in the game. And it's 14-13. I'm like, all right, let's do this, you know. Here we go. And it was quick strike, 21-13. Then they came back, had a nice drive, and it was like 21-21. And I really wanted to see where we were going to go after this, man. And it was kind of not just the offense, you know. It was special teams. It was defense. But the offense had a touchdown, 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 touchdown. Now they had that fumble. That helped them a lot. But – you know, when it was 21-21, I just wanted to see how we were going to close. And the special teams stepped up, defense stepped up with a pick in the end zone, or I guess just short of it. And then they had a turnover on downs on a 10-play drive that was going someplace. And so, yeah, I love the way they closed out that game. But, yeah, I mean, defensively, you know, it was a give-up play or give up a lot of yards, but I thought they held it together. They didn't fold. They got 8 pass deflections, had solid pressure, 2 picks, 2 turnovers on downs. They've been just lights out. When you look, I don't know what it is yet with the updated, some sites update some way till Monday Night Football's done. But heading into this thing, they were number 1 in rush yards defense. They were 2nd in takeaways, 1st in picks, 4th in sacks, and 5th in points overall. Darnold is playing the best of his career, so he's going to get a lot of attention for that. Now the MVP chats are back. The rumors of, oh, he's an MVP. And, listen, I get it. Quarterbacks just are up for MVP a lot, so I get it. You're on a winning team. You're putting up good-ass numbers. But it's the system, because he could have maybe done this someplace else, but they didn't have a system and the talent. We have the dueling. That's huge for a quarterback. So, and remember how much – dude, if we could go back 2 years ago, we were like the 31st defense in the league, dude. Like, fourth quarter, you know, for like 12 games or whatever, they'd somehow make a play, and that's when they'd show up out of nowhere and finally help the offense. But from 2020 to 2023, those defenses were just utterly garbage, right? And the interior line was utterly garbage. That's improved somewhat. We know it's not a great, but it's not where it was. That's for damn sure, given the bar was low. But our defense, you know, we saw it last year where it's like, okay, this is a better defense. Ultimately, like you talked about, they caught up to what it was. And so the grocery, you know, it's funny. We talked about giving Flores a grocery list of, you know, items he wants in the free agency. And he even said that. I forgot to hit the little record button, but he said that about a month ago at a press conference. I thought it was pretty funny. But, you know, you add to that defense is nasty. So just like it's not always the quarterback's fault, but sometimes we give quarterbacks too much credit. And so, and I don't want to take away from Sam. He is what he is. He's playing really solid right now. He started the season on a great clip, ran into some problems, but he's got on the other side of it right now. And it looks more confident. If he's confident, the team's more confident. And KOC, like I said, was literally wheeling and dealing, scheming guys fairly open.
Yeah, I think that started when Darnold started showing us a little bit of clutch tendencies. I can't remember what game. I know against the Bears he had a little bit of that.
Well, then the week before when we came down from 19-6, that was his best, part of that.
So maybe he's building confidence with KOC there, and now KOC is like, look, it gets to a point where you can trust a guy to be poised and to deliver when the chips are down. And, you know, this fourth quarter, another thing you want to bottle. I mean, the offense comes out, it's Addison for a 43-yard catch, and then he finishes that off with a touchdown, make it 28-21. We get a very strange fumble recovery on the kickoff. That was Brian Asamoah and C.J. Ham with recovery. We get a couple first downs. Addison gets another tutty. He makes it 35-21. By then, you know, we're all pretty much relaxing now, although there was probably 8 minutes left in the fourth.
They were dry. They had a nice drive going, too. I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah, but then Murphy comes in with the one-handed interception we mentioned earlier. But that was, you know, they had got their way down the field, like you said, and he had to go in the end zone for that. Save our bacon. Then offense comes out, Akers for 24 yards. Best run of Akers for the season.
Had a couple of those chunk runs too.
Yep. And then Oliver 25, he's back. Good to see him. And then touchdown for Aaron Jones kind of taps it off, and defense comes out, gets turnover on downs, and it's 42-21. We win. But, you know, like I said, you don't want to assume as a Viking fan that anything this week's going to carry to the next week. But like you said, you start off the season, some of these things are repeatable and they can be consistent. From what you hear from KOC and Brian Flores, this is kind of what they've been building for all year. I know there's a lot of conversation about Sam, and, you know, some people say he's a fraud or whatever. And I think you have a really good point about players and system. I think that's the majority of it, because Sam is Sam. It's not like Sam has become a different person.
And he's always had arm talent. That was clear in college.
Sure. He's always been somewhat mobile. So obviously it's a combination of Sam, the system, and the players. Now, whether that continues, I think it probably will, you know, maybe not 42, but I think you'll have some more consistent offensive performances coming down the stretch here. Obviously, you got to face the Bears, the Packers, Seahawks, and then the Lions. And we don't know what we're going to see from the Lions, but like you said, they've got a lot of injuries. So, you know, maybe it is a dogfight on the last week of the season, probably for the division. You never know. But, you know, there's the re-signed, Darnold people, and then there's the, you know, which you don't hear a lot from, but I am ardent, you know, I'm very much on the side of, you know, sticking with the plan that we thought that was going into the season, and get JJ ready to go for next year. And you have Daniel Jones and all that stuff, and maybe farther down the line we'll have a more in-depth conversation about what our thoughts are, unless you would like to talk now. But, I mean, if Sam is going to continue to play this way and the offense is going to continue to run in chaos, he's going to start to let some wrinkles show. And if the defense can be consistent, we get guys back that we need, Pace, Jones, guys like that on defense. I don't think, we're going to lose more than, God, I want to say 3 games the entire season. And now, knock on wood, a lot can happen.
So go 3-1 down the stretch.
Probably. That would be my guess. Depends on what the state of the Lions are at that last game. If they're just sitting people or if they're actually playing you, straight up. So I guess all that to say, if you can continue this run, defense can get a little bit more stingier. We said, Chris, back in the season preview that we thought this would be a top 5 scoring defense. At the end of the season. Now we're not at the end of the season, but we're damn close and we're our top 5 scoring defense. That's the key for playoffs. Now I thought we were a little soft for playoffs to be actual, like maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I thought defensive line, I'm not loving, offensive line, I'm not loving in a playoff atmosphere. Not that I'm 100% convinced that they are ready for that, but I think it holds up a little better than I thought it would. So I think, you know, going into this Bears game, I think it's going to show us something, because it's a quick turnaround with the Chicago team. And of course they're going through their ball of shit over there. They did not have a good showing against the Niners on Sunday. I don't want to say that that's their pattern, but you know, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen there. And I just don't know if that's a recipe for success. But Caleb's still talented. We did see them shortly, but if, you know, I guess my point is, if you can, the Chicago test will be, can we remain consistent offensively and defensively, and, you know, maybe not win 42-21, but can we beat the Bears soundly?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, and like, I don't think we're the number one. I mean, it sounds funny because we are the number one rushing defense, but I don't think we are. I think it's how these games have gone. And I think that, in many of the games, especially early season, we were up, so they had to abandon. We've talked about that. But they're much more solid than I would have thought. And I don't think we called top 5. I think we called more like top 10. I don't think we said top 5 scoring. But because we were saying yards were going to be higher, but there's a chance to be like top 10, 12, 15, you know, just improve like a major amount. And Beyond that, like, we gave up some yards, no doubt, in the last two games, but we made plays back. That's the key, especially in this league. In that 10 points that we gave up in the last little bit to the Bears, I will point a finger at that. But if you look at those other three games, you know, 13, 7, and 13. Like, the defense, I don't know how much better the defense can get, to be honest with you. I really don't. Because it's like they're doing about as good as they can, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, they're still kind of bend, don't break, but they're high level, elite level bend that don't break, though, you know? And they make plays back, they get the pressure, they drop a lot of guys in coverage. They got a, speaking of play caller, you know, they got a great play caller. That's the thing. I hear people say, oh, you know, we'll just develop someone underneath them. And the longer he stays, the better chance we will have. We do have a couple candidates in-house that maybe could do it. But so you could get all, like, his tendencies. You could get what Flores does during the week to get the game plan ready and put his players in the right position. But then you got to call the plays at the right time. And that's where a big difference is. You know what I mean? And I'm not sold that we got that in-house, but we'll see. I'm not saying we can't, because I think we have some quality candidates, but, and I don't want him to leave, but, you know, at some point he's going to go, whether it's, you know, next year, the year after, who knows. But I don't think we're going to be able to get too much more out of them unless, you know, it's just one of those nasty games where he gets seven sacks and a bunch of picks and a pick six or whatever. But you're right, dude. We can't overlook the Bears. Like, the next three games after that, it's like, ooh, here we go. But we can't – we got to focus right here. We got to focus right here, dude. And it opened at 7. It's like 6.5 now. It's 43.5. Dude, when you look at – like you said last week, they had a rough one. I mean, wow. First of all, we are going to have the winter whiteout, which is always fun. Dude, they had four – in the first half, they had 4 yards and 5 punts.
I mean – I know. I saw that. It's that
just... And they had – at one point, total yards were 310 to 2. I mean, that's really bad. I thought we did a pretty good job looking back at it on Caleb. He started going off late. That was the problem. They didn't run a ton on us because we had a little lead on them too. That was that scenario. DJ Moore got off. Allen got off. So we ran the ball pretty well. 27 carries, buck 24, 4.6. We had Addison and Hockenson both at 100-yard games, much like Jefferson and Addison this last week. So I think that was key. And another thing is both teams can definitely improve. Like we were, I think we were 6 of 17 or something like that on third down. We could minorly improve that. You know, so there's little tweaks. Both teams kind of got after the quarterback. The time of possession by the end of it, you know, a lot of it had to probably do with that last drive, but we did catch up there. But it was a tough game. We had control. We gave it away. They got 10 quick points. And then we had a nice, well, it was the defense first. Then we had a nice drive and won the game. So they're still, I mean, dude, they score 19.5 points a game, dude. It's not even 20 points a game. We're up to 26 now off of that last week. Now, and they're only passing for 183 a week. Gilmore's still questionable. Jones is questionable. I'd like to see even more rushing yards. Like I said, we had a good rushing day. I'd take that. But they're still up 135 a game they're giving up. That's a lot. That's a lot in the NFL. So I do think we're going to win the game, and I think to your point, it's about will we put this thing away, and maybe we'll put it away with 3 minutes left, like away so they couldn't even touch it, you know, because sometimes it comes down to that too. It, you know, the score can be 10, 13, 14 points, but maybe you put the dagger in with like 5 minutes left, and they're too far away to even catch up. So we'll see, but I do like The fights, I think it's going to be like, what I write down, 27-20, 30-20, maybe 30-16, something like that. Will it be 30-27 or will it be 30-16? You know what I mean? Kind of what you're pointing at is, are we going to go beat this team like they're supposed to be beaten? You know, they already had a tight game with us. So I think it's going to be easy for the coach to say, hey, guys, you cannot look ahead, because look what happened when we looked ahead in the damn game. They took us to OT when they had no business being in OT.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about it as you. I think a big difference is if we were heading to Chicago for this one, I feel a little differently. But, you know, they're coming here. We're playing well, Chris. I think you're right about the score a bit. You know, my only real reservation here is the pass rush. And like I mentioned earlier, that's really the only thing you can do. I don't think they're going to keep the same defensive game plan against, but they might. I mean, it wasn't like it was a total disaster for them and just try to get rid of Jefferson. But now, you know, they lost. Addison was going off on them. I don't think they want to see that happen again, and Hawkinson and whatnot. So I think there will be some adjustments that they're going to do defensively, and that's just going to free up Jefferson a little bit more. Because obviously you're not going to triple team Hawkinson. And I think that, you know, since we're at home, got momentum already kind of going now, obviously you can't overlook this game. And I don't think KOC is going to let them do that. So I think the Vikings do win. 7 is probably about the right number, I would say. Maybe hit the over again. I'm not sure. I don't feel as confident about it as I did last week. But yeah, I like the Vikings. I think it'll be 28-30 for the Vikings. I think you're right in that range. And like, you're right. The question is 16 or 27 or 14 and 24. You know, when do you put it away? Is this game done in the third? Is this halfway through the fourth? When is it over? Obviously, stranger things have happened. It's an indoor game. Caleb could just say, I had enough of this losing shit and just go off on some, you know, on some shit that we're like, damn, you know, this guy's fucking good. So that could happen. Don't think it's gonna. Think Vikings win by 7 or more. And that's just saying that they are what they were, and they're going to be consistent, and they're going to play, you know, offensively up to their ability. Jones is not going to fumble. We're not going to turn the ball over. We're not going to come out flat, that type of thing. So I like the Vikings here too. By 7 or more. So I guess my score would be like kind of like yours. I'll go 13. I'll go 30-21, something like that. 32-21, something like that. I'll give them a little bit more points, although I'm a little iffy on that because, you know, what Bears team are you going to get? Are you going to get the, you know, can't wait for the season to be over Bears, or, you know, a fighting squad? You know, where are you at on that? It's hard to tell. What you're going to get. But if you get, you know, a fighting Bear squad, I think they can score 21 points on them.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I don't know where their headspace is at, because it hasn't been good at all for them. And remember, we were worried about, are we going to be the ones that, you know, mess up the streak here? And the streak, they're still on. They're still on that streak. So it's pretty pretty crazy, no doubt about it. It was really good news, speaking of, you know, to close out the show with the Gopher segment. We now have the bowl. We have, you know, probably a little bit more money with an extra year in the contract for the defensive coordinator. And we got Coy Parrish and Darius Taylor to stay home, baby. So that is humongous. That was what I was really worried about. Like, seriously, that was like one where I'm just like, oh my God, please stay. Because it's hard to be all in if those two leave. Just from it not even making sense to an extent, you know. I also do like, Aaron, how in the recruit, you know, because obviously the early recruitment, we got like 22 now, something like that, signed. He literally said it, like anywhere from 10 to 15 players. It depends. We're, right now it's 10, but it may be more depending on who leaves. And, you know, like he said, we're getting a quarterback. We like what we got here, but we're going to, you know, we're going to go for it. And so that tells me he's all in too, because he just wouldn't obviously do that. To just say it out loud like that, in front of the boosters and everybody, that was huge. And so they are all in on this year. And it was the Montgomery, Alabama, Trey Berry was the last guy. He had Boston College and Syracuse, among others. He was, I think, the last guy they signed, or second to last guy they signed. But, you know, so that was big. You know, I love that they're bringing in a quarterback. We talked about a couple of players, how we don't know if they'll be back just based off of where they're at sometimes. And, you know, Newbin. You know, Newbin has 1 year left eligibility. He knows he's not going to be the guy. So he did take off, which I can't, you know, I can't get too mad at, man. You know, we kind of thought it was, I think it's Martellus Lewis. He's the guy that was rotating. He was a starter, then he was rotating, and then he got out of the starting lineup. So he might be waiting to see who's coming in offensive line, because I think he could get a starting job for sure. But, you know, will it be – that might play into it. That might play into it. So, but everybody just calm down a little bit around this time of year. You see, first of all, you're going to see a flood of people leaving. And they, although we Fleck got us ready for this, but the walk-on scenario, and I forgot to mention this last week, the walk-on scenario is different this year. There's going to be less of them because you are going to 105 scholarships. Okay? So some of these walk-ons and maybe these development guys will be here for 2 or 3 years getting a little money and develop with the scholarship and all that rather than being a preferred walk-on. But you have seen plenty of preferred walk-ons go recently. But we not like some other teams who haven't been – because it used to be like 125 or 128 or whatever. So there is a little cut down because there is a salary cap coming in. So you got to tighten the budget for that. That was part of the agreement, so they knew it was coming. So you may see a couple extra guys where you're like, that's weird, but they have lost some guys. This is when you lose guys, okay? It's about who you bring in, the fit, and all that. But Aaron, just hearing that he's going to get a quarterback really makes me feel good. Like, we're all in for this next season, too. It's not just 2 years from now we're going to be good because we're going to return a bunch of young starters from this coming year.
Yeah, you're right about, you know, Coy and Taylor. That does help you buy in a little bit. And then hearing that they're going to look for a quarterback because, you know, we talked a little bit off air about, you know, in the old days you would try to raise them. And sometimes that worked, and sometimes that didn't work, and then you're left, you know, without a quarterback at all. And now you can kind of go get one, whether that's FBS or from another D1 school or wherever it is that you're looking to get a guy that you know can come in and run the offense that you want to run. That makes it a little bit more easy to buy in as well. And then you have to trust what – well, we saw Fleck go through this process last year and how it worked out. And this is kind of traffic season, like you said, people coming in, people coming out. You got recruits, high school recruits coming in and signing and doing stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And you start to see, you know, maybe the idea. I know offensive line changed a bit from last year, which is a bit of a question mark. Are they going to go more run heavy, pass heavy? What are they looking at? I think Fleck liked throwing the ball a bit this year. But it's hard to say if you're going to get rid of running the ball with Fleck at all. I think, you know, we might have seen the most passing that ever happened, but it depends on, you know, what kind of quarterback that they bring in. There aren't any candidates, Chris, that I'm aware of now, but I'm sure we'll talk about them if there are and discuss it, because we just don't know who's out in the portal, who's in range, what they're looking at. We obviously know Mac's not going to be back, but he is going to play in the bowl game, Chris, in North Carolina. The Mayo, what kind of Mayo Bowl?
The Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo and playing Virginia Tech, Va Tech, which will be a nice matchup. January 3rd, I think you said. So no more Detroit this year. That was nice to have. Some of those Detroit games got a little bit hard to watch, but, you know, his bowl record's been good. Flex has won bowl games. And get those extra practices, which is nice. But, yeah, man, I mean, overall, season could have been better. I thought, you know, we talked a little bit last week about what could have been and what should have been and how talented this team was. And, you know, from the eye test, it's got to be top one or two, maybe three talented teams I've seen. And I like the way they started throwing the ball around. It's new. It's not like Wacker throwing the ball around. It was just fucking if you're old enough to remember Wacker.
That's kids, they try really hard. That's what I love about my squad. They try hard. We got beat 56-8, but still we're trying.
Jim, you scored 6 points. I like some of the recruits I signed, and we're not going to get in depth into high school recruiting. There's so much to keep up now in college football. My hat's off to you, man. You keep up more than I do. But, you know, it seemed like a normal flex class, some highs, some lows, some guys from Minnesota. I think he got the last two years, he's got the top guy in Minnesota. So, you know, you can't complain about that. But it seemed like, you know, he got a quarterback, got a nice running back. So it's kind of like, you know, status quo as far as that goes. And look, I like the state of the program, Chris. I really do. I think you're going to have a shot to bounce up to a 10-win team. You know, every 3-4 years, we'll see how this NIL system sort of works and how he learns to manipulate it. But this could have been a 9-10 win team. And I think it's going to stay in that ballpark. I know the Big Ten and the schedule and all that stuff. We'll see different teams every year and depending on how good they are. But I think the program's in pretty good hands at this point. And I think that we're adjusting to the NIL and to the new system. And I think this is going to take a little bit more time to iron out, but I like where things are headed.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to be realistic, you know, as far as where it was. I think some people, you know, Mason was a hell of a coach, solid coach, man. We had some good years with them. Obviously, the running game was nasty with them, you know, especially those few years. And we had a chance. We did have a 10-game winning season and all that. But the defenses, he got here, they had a strong defense, and slowly but surely that kind of fell apart. So I think people, I don't know, they just think that you're going to match that 2019 like every other year or something like that. But I do look for them to be strong in the running back portal again. Obviously, the Oklahoma kid only had 1 year, and then that Ohio transfer left too, and Newbin. So we got a bunch of young talent. We got a high-level, you know, starter, but look for at least, I'd say, two running backs to come in. And you know, like, we had success there. We also, like you said, with Max bringing him in, that helps for future dealings with a new quarterback. And by the way, Coy Parrish, first-team All-Big Ten. Taylor, couple other a variety of folks were honorable mention, but Ursay Lindenberg was in the coaches, first team, second team media, and then in the coaches second team was Wally too. So that was kind of nice. But yeah, we had a variety. Jackson, Quinn Carroll, both punter and kicker. Logan Redding, the defensive lineman. Vernowski, Ethan Robinson, who came in here for 1 year. We stole a guy from, like, USC, a couple other big schools. Anthony Smith, a lot of guys coming back next year. Well, not the one I mentioned before, but overall, that, you know, we've done well in the transfer. That's what I do want to make clear. We really have. And Drake Lindsey, the guy who's going to be a redshirt freshman next year, he's been here, you know, the whole year. He's got this kid he went to high school with, I think, when that guy was – a senior, and he was a sophomore from Arkansas. This kid's got some zip to him. So he's been online, like, recruiting him. But, yeah, you got a quarterback from Liberty, USC, BC, Iowa, Ashton Daniels, Stanford. He's a damn good player. I don't think we're going to get him. But the guy we got from Virginia Tech, who's going to be a redshirt sophomore next year, he split time with that Ashton Daniels. He played, I think I mentioned that last week, he played for Georgia, Georgia High School, which basically kind of like one of the better leagues in the country. So we can't just say Lindsey's going to be the guy, because it might be that guy. But, you know, we bring in a quarterback, someone is likely to leave. You know what I mean? So we have offered this Wyoming D tackle. There is a couple other guys that we have offered as well, a defensive end. So, yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted if things pop off or, you know, when people leave or whatever. They did bring in, like you mentioned, this year they brought in another Jackson Kolick. And that dude was originally signed to Washington with DeBoer, who now went to, you know, once DeBoer went to Alabama, he got out, and then now he's with us. So we did actually get him on campus. So we have three young, you know, guys here, and that's why I like that they're bringing in a vet to compete with that, man. And you're right, 2 years in a row, Carmo, I think his name is, and, dude, Ohio State, Oregon, Wisconsin, he had offers from those guys. We know what Coy was. And actually, Howard left to LSU, but he's back, so technically – because he was here this year, that Jackson Howard, he was actually the number one recruit in 23. So technically on our team, we have the last three top players, and they were all going to go to elite programs. So that's pretty big. But, yeah, the biggest news is Jordan Newbin, solid player. He's been here for 4 years. He had 600 yards in those 4 years, but 200 of them was in a game. You know, he came on last year. Fell down the depth chart this year, so it's not the end of the world. We kind of knew that was coming, but yeah, we'll keep you posted. And like I said, there's going to be players. Guess what? When we bring somebody in that's a pretty good player, there's probably going to be someone that leaves if they're like a co-starter, or all of a sudden they're like they went from second to third, you know, in their particular position. So it is what it is, but. It just, I love that he said quarterback, and I love that he said 10 or 15, just outwardly saying we're all in. And you could tell that the NLI is just getting better here.
Yeah, especially like even this year with corners, you know, that's a position you don't necessarily want to put a true freshman out against Big Ten teams. So you can actually get yourself a vet. But nonetheless, we need to stay on track, beat the Bears. We'll keep you updated on any bowl news. When we talk to you next week, stay warm.
This is Ashley Agonetti from the Almost Famous podcast. Can you believe all this talk about GLP-1s? Of course you can. It's all people talk about. Have you heard about Future Health, though? They make access to qualified doctors that know GLP-1s easier than ever. People can struggle with weight loss for years, trying various diets and exercises without lasting success. With GLP-1s, many people notice a reduction in cravings and felt more in control of their eating habits, which lead to weight loss, physical health, and feeling more optimistic about their future. They give millions of people affordable access to knowledgeable providers who really know weight loss medications for less than $3 a day. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That is tryfh.com. Again, tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.